Disclaimer. The following presentation contains scenes of violence and disturbing content that may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of the characters and do not necessarily reflect the views of the producers. This is a work of fiction. Names, characters, businesses, places, events, locales, and incidents are either the products of the author's imagination or used in a fictitious manner. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental. Chapter 5. Echoes of Fury. The Motive. Sharia Singh and Indira approached the chamber, their footsteps echoing off the walls as they advanced. A servant greeted them with a bow, informing them, "Taraji is waiting for you." Their expressions flickered with surprise, exchanging a brief glance before gesturing for their group to step back. With a nod, they followed the maid inside the chamber, anticipation mingling with apprehension in the air. The maid guided them to the sitting chamber, where a stern voice echoed, "The news of your failure precedes you." Introducing Taraji, the royal doctor, a mastermind on the other side, a sage in her own right, possessing a stature as great and respected as Guru Tejas. It was whispered in hushed tones, an urban legend that every time death approached, it recoiled upon sensing her presence near a person. Tales spun of her ability to resurrect the dying from their last breath, weaving hope where there was once despair. In physical appearance, she exuded a radiant aura, her beauty commanding reverence and admiration. Always adorned in attire befitting her esteemed position, she possessed a dignified stature that demanded respect from all who crossed her path. Yet, despite her formidable presence, there was a serenity about her, an aura of tranquility that belied the chaos surrounding her. No one had ever glimpsed her wrath, for she was a beacon of compassion and healing in a world consumed by darkness. As they entered the chamber, Sharia Singh's gaze fell upon Tara, the esteemed divine healer, who awaited them with a composed demeanor. However, his attention was soon drawn to Indira, whose arrogance seemed to radiate from every pore. "Sharia," his voice tinged with regret, addressed Taraji. "Forgive my oversight," he began, his tone filled with remorse. "But I must take responsibility for the failure." "Tara," she began, her voice tinged with frustration, "but sending just a handful of men after Tejas? Did you think he was some common guard?" With a dismissive wave of her hand, Indira spoke, her tone dripping with disdain. "I should have been the one to kill that silly old man." Her grip tightened on the hilt of her sword, the desire for bloodshed evident in her eyes. Sharia sighed inwardly, knowing all too well the volatile nature of his daughter. He cast her a cautionary glance, silently urging her to temper her words. But Indira, fueled by her own sense of superiority, paid him no heed. Tara's expression remained unchanged as she addressed Indira, her voice cutting through the tension like a blade through the air. "Did I not make myself clear on the matter?" Her words carried a weight of authority that brooked no argument. "Those were my best men. They," Indira stated firmly, her gaze unwavering. Before Indira could finish her sentence, Tara cut her off sharply, her voice firm and commanding. "Be quiet. I have neither the patience nor the interest for your sadistic pursuits." Sharia, sensing Indira's growing anger, swiftly interjected, dropping to one knee in front of Tara and gently pulling Indira down with him. "Excuse her, Taraji," he pleaded, his voice tinged with concern. "She's still young and hot-headed." Meanwhile, Tara, the divine healer, observed the exchange with a raised eyebrow, her expression betraying a hint of amusement at the familial dynamic and Indira's arrogance unfolding before her. Despite the tension in the air, she remained composed, her wisdom and authority emanating effortlessly. In the midst of their conversation, a scout returned, his presence demanding immediate attention. Indira, sensing the urgency, excused herself and hastened to hear the scout's report. Upon her return, her countenance bore the weight of grim news. With urgency in her voice, she conveyed, "Anya and Maya have fallen. Vikram and his men intervened to rescue Priyanka and Naina." Tara's usually composed expression contorted with fury at the revelation. "How dare you entrust such a critical task to those incompetent fools?" she seethed, her disappointment palpable. Anya and Maya's indulgences always took precedence over their responsibilities. Indira's features tightened as she absorbed Tara's scathing criticism. The gravity of her error weighed heavily upon her, realizing the dire consequences of her misplaced trust. As the scene unfolded before them, both Sharya and Indira stood frozen in shock, their eyes wide with disbelief at the display of Tara's power. But before they could fully comprehend what was happening, Tara waved her hand, sending an invisible needle piercing through the eyes of the scout. The scout fell lifeless to the ground before his body could even touch it, leaving Sharya and Indira startled and shaken to their core. The sheer speed at which everything transpired left them reeling, unable to comprehend the extent of her abilities. Their disbelief was tangible as they witnessed the scout's agonizing demise, his body convulsing before succumbing to the lethal poison. Tara's unfathomable prowess struck them with the force of a thunderclap, a chilling reminder of the perilous depths of her abilities. In that harrowing moment, the chamber seemed to contract, suffocating under the overwhelming presence of Tara's dominance. Her aura loomed large, casting an ominous shadow over all within its reach. It was a sobering realization of the authority she commanded, inspiring both dread and deference in equal measure. With a somber demeanor, Tara turned away from the grim scene, her gaze fixated on the distant vista beyond the window. An oppressive silence settled over the room as she drew a deep breath, the weight of their recent failures bearing down upon her. "Guide us, Mother Danuja," she murmured, her words a reverent whisper that hung heavy in the air. It felt as though the very atmosphere in the chamber responded to her invocation, bending to her will as she sought solace and direction from the ultimate source of power. Sharya and Indira exchanged uneasy glances, the gravity of Tara's plea weighing heavily upon them. It served as a stark reminder of the formidable adversaries they faced, entities far beyond their comprehension and control. On the other side, as the squad, along with the royals and Guru Tejas, gathered at the clandestine training facility, the air crackled with tension. Despite the facility's well-guarded secrecy and the array of traps that surrounded it, there was an underlying sense of urgency that permeated the atmosphere. Rohan Singh, his eyes scanning the perimeter with a hawk-like intensity, instructed the group to remain vigilant. His voice, firm and commanding, cut through the silence like a blade, emphasizing the gravity of the situation they faced. "Even within these fortified walls, we cannot afford to let our guard down," Rohan declared, his tone leaving no room for doubt. "The enemy may strike at any moment, and we must be prepared to defend ourselves and the kingdom." As the group delved into discussions about the matters unfolding within the palace walls, the revelation of betrayal weighed heavily on their hearts. Sharya Singh's treachery, once unthinkable, now cast a dark shadow over their plans for defense. Rohan Singh's jaw tightened with restrained anger as he spoke of the betrayal, his words carrying a sense of disbelief and disappointment. "The betrayal of Sharya Singh strikes at the very core of our security," Rohan declared, his voice tinged with bitterness. King Man Singh's expression darkened at the news, his features contorted with a mix of sorrow and rage. "To think that someone we trusted implicitly could turn against us in such a manner," he murmured, his voice thick with emotion. Amidst the palpable tension within the fortified walls of the training facility, Guru Tejas sensed a deeper undercurrent, a shadow looming over their mission. His gaze held a hint of gravity as he addressed King Man Singh and the gathered members. "There is more at play here than a mere power struggle," Guru Tejas remarked, his tone carrying a solemn weight. His words hung in the air, hinting at a deeper conspiracy lurking beneath the surface. Just then, Daksha's return from the campsite added to the solemn atmosphere, his countenance betraying the gravity of the news he bore. With each step, the weight of his burden seemed to grow, his voice trembling as he delivered the troubling report. "Guru Tejas, King Man Singh," Daksh began, his voice heavy with emotion and tears staining his cheeks. "The situation at the campsite is dire." Daksh's voice quivered as he relayed the heart-wrenching news, his words heavy with sorrow and regret. The listeners held their breath, their hearts sinking with each syllable. "Guru Tejas, King Man Singh," Daksh's voice trembled, the weight of his words palpable. "I regret to inform you that both Krishana and Arjana have perished." The news hung in the air, a somber cloud descending over the listeners. A collective gasp rippled through the room, disbelief etched on every face. Priyanka and Naina, though still alive, bore the scars of tragedy, their losses profound and irreparable. Tears welled in Daksha's eyes as he continued, his voice strained with emotion. "Priyanka and Naina, they have lost their babies," he murmured, the anguish in his voice echoing the pain of those who listened. The room fell silent, the weight of grief heavy upon them all. In that moment, the cruel reality of their situation became painfully clear. It was all orchestrated at Shaoya's command. Amidst the queen's visible distress, King Man Singh offered her gentle reassurance, his touch a source of comfort in her time of need. "Daksh," Guru Tejas' voice was a whisper, heavy with sorrow and disbelief. "How could this have happened? The loss of our princes. It is a blow beyond measure." King Man Singh's jaw clenched, his eyes reflecting a mixture of grief and fury. "Shaoya," he muttered through gritted teeth, his fists tightening in barely contained rage. "He will answer for this." Daksh bowed his head in apology, his heart heavy with guilt. "Forgive me, Guru Tejas, King Man Singh," he pleaded. "I should have been there to protect them." Guru Tejas placed a hand on Daksh's shoulder, his expression one of compassion amid the anguish. "You did all you could, Daksh," he reassured him, his voice soft yet resolute. "This burden does not rest on your shoulders alone." With a heavy heart, Daksh informed the squad members gathered before him. "For now, it was best to keep Priyanka and Naina at the campsite," he explained, his voice firm yet compassionate. "Given the circumstances, they are in no condition to travel, and we cannot risk their safety until we have more information about the situation here." As Tejas pressed for more information about the attackers, Daksh took a deep breath, gathering his thoughts before responding. "It's Shaoya," Daksh began, his voice grave. "He's orchestrating a plan to eliminate both bloodlines." King Man's expression darkened at the revelation, his fists clenched in anger. "That traitor," he muttered through gritted teeth, his gaze burning with fury. Tejas's brow furrowed as he processed the gravity of Daksh's words. "This runs deeper than we imagined," he remarked, his voice heavy with concern. Daksh hesitated, his brows furrowing in concern as he grappled with the weight of the revelation he was about to share. "There's something more," he began, his voice low and grave. Tejas and the others leaned in, their eyes fixed on Daksh, waiting for his next words. "Not only did the attackers mutilate the bodies of our soldiers," Daksh continued, his tone heavy with dread, "but they left behind cryptic messages hinting at a far more sinister agenda." Tejas's grip tightened on the edge of the table, his mind racing with possibilities. "What kind of messages?" he pressed, his voice urgent. Daksh swallowed hard, steeling himself to reveal the full extent of the horror. "They spoke of a plan to eradicate both royal bloodlines," he confessed, his voice barely above a whisper. "And there's more," Daksh added, his voice trembling slightly. "Vikram Singh is headed there to warn them of the impending danger." Tejas's eyes widened in realization. "Let's hope Vikram reaches there in time," he murmured. "He is well equipped to handle the situation." Daksh pressed on, his voice tinged with disgust. "And they let slip. They did this in anticipation of Danuja's return." Before Daksh could delve deeper into the disturbing details, Guru Tejas intervened, his tone grave as he sought confirmation. "Danuja?" he questioned, his voice barely above a whisper. Daksh nodded solemnly, confirming Tejas' suspicions. Guru Tejas took a deep breath, his expression reflecting the weight of their situation. "We are fortunate that Priyanka and Naina survived," he remarked, his voice heavy with relief amidst the darkness of their circumstances. Guru Tejas's usual composed demeanor cracked for the briefest of moments. His eyes widened in shock, a rare display of surprise crossing his features, completely unexpected given his typically unflappable nature. The revelation seemed to strike a chord deep within him, stirring emotions rarely seen by those who knew him. Despite his years of experience and wisdom, even he couldn't conceal the astonishment that swept over him at the mention of Danuja's involvement. King Man Singh, noticing the uncharacteristic reaction from his trusted advisor, exchanged a glance with the others in the room, silently acknowledging the gravity of the situation. If even Rajguru Tejas was taken aback by this revelation, then the threat posed by Danuja's followers must indeed be significant. As Chapter 5, Echoes of Fury, The Motive, reaches its crescendo, the narrative threads woven through the tale begin to converge, casting a new light on the motivations and secrets that lie at the heart of our story. The chapter peels back layers of intrigue and deception, revealing the complex web of relationships and past events that have set the stage for the kingdom's current turmoil. The revelation of the army chief's unwavering loyalty to Danuja, and his tragic fate at the hands of those he once served alongside serves as a poignant reminder of the cost of integrity in a realm where power and vengeance overshadow justice. The chapter lays bare the depth of the conspiracy against Dhanuja, implicating not just the immediate actors, but hinting at a darker force orchestrating events from the shadows. As we prepare to turn the page to Chapter 6, The Seeds of Injustice, the kingdom stands on the precipice of a moral and ethical abyss. The loss of key figures such as Rajpurohit Mahendra and the army chief, and the manipulation of Dhanuja's image from a grieving daughter to a vengeful spirit, highlights the extent to which the fabric of the kingdom has been eroded by lies and treachery. Listeners will be drawn into a world where the lines between right and wrong blur, where the quest for power leads to the downfall of the just, and where the cry for justice becomes a whisper in the face of overwhelming deceit. Chapter 6 promises to delve deeper into the consequences of these revelations, exploring the impact of the loss of moral guidance and the rise of injustice on a kingdom teetering on the edge of collapse. The stage is set for a tale of heartbreak, betrayal, and the quest for redemption, as the characters grapple with the weight of their choices and the legacy of those who came before them. The echoes of fury that have reverberated through the narrative are about to find their expression in the unfolding drama, setting the stage for a confrontation that will define the future of the kingdom and the fate of its inhabitants.